All right. Well, what are the considerations that go into writing a main theme?
Well, yeah, I can give you a perfect example. Eventually, I do have to give you a backstory and tell you that most main themes, main titles, another word for the same thing, reflect in some way the personality of the show, of the period, of the subject matter. There is something that's a statement, a musical statement that in some way is accepted by the people in authority as, yes, that sounds like Hill Street Blues, or it sounds like Chicago Hope, or what, you know. But the essence is, does it reflect the seriousness, the humor, or, you know, the dramatic content, the sense of adventure, if it's Jaws or Private Ryan of John's? So that's one of the things that one looks for. And indeed, you don't toss in red herrings on your own. If there's a moment where you want to lay some kind of suspicion about another character who isn't the heavy,
mm-hmm.
you might, after discussing it with the producer or the director about the red herring aspect of this, in other words, putting the blame on someone else who is not the guilty party, you have to be sure that that's very clear, that they don't object to it. So, with that in mind, I had this idea when I was talking to the producer writer of The Hulk,
mm-hmm.
before it went into production. And as you may know, I spent a long time writing the music and having the best time, aside from the stress of I can't possibly do this.
Mm-hmm.
On a weekly basis, you know. But I had this notion that the Hulk, who by now is a thing of the past, except there's a movie coming out very shortly about the Incredible Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
The television show reflects the agony and the miserable state that the star, Bill Bixby at the time, who's gone now, but
mm-hmm.
once he had the ability to metamorphosize and become this monster, it's like the line he said in the credits. He said, "Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry." And of course, when he became the Hulk, it was because someone made him angry,
mm-hmm.
or someone hurt him physically, or did something awful to him, and he became the Green Monster. So, this was an opportunity for me to reflect on my own life, my own bumps along the way, and how there were times when I behaved badly. I empathized with the trauma. I knew it was going to be a successful show, because as soon as we shot and scored the pilot, before we got through with it, we knew that we had a hit on our hands.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to the theme was a theme called, I call it the Lonely Man theme.
Mm-hmm.
Which reflects David Banner's walking off into the distance to find yet another place. He couldn't stay there anymore because he'd behaved badly. And it's very sad. It's kind of a very touching, unhappy, but lovely melody. Very simple. And I thought that that would be the core of the score. That would be something I could, if I got the approval from the producer, and he loved the notion. However, the main title has equal portions of both that theme with a very exciting rhythm that reflects the Hulk's anger and rage, with little quotes, musical quotes. Well, both themes have musical quotes that if I were to sing them, people that remember the show well would know it in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
One was, da-dee-da-dee, and something mm-hmm. is triggered if you've been conditioned to watch that show.
Oh, yeah.
That's the Lonely Man theme. Underneath, there were roars, like, I don't mean human roars, but the sound of notes that reflected the Hulk when he was crazed and out of control. And that went ba-ba-ba-bomb with an electric tuba, which sounded, with the electric equipment that went with it, sounded an octave lower than it's written for, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was at the bottom tessitura of musical sound, you know, at the bottom of a piano keyboard, for
mm-hmm.
example, where even the pitch is slightly distorted because it vibrates so slowly. So the main title became that, and the end title and various quotes in the score itself had references to that theme, to that Lonely Man theme, as well as the quotes that became part of the score as well. And each episode had its own personality theme. I mean, so that there were three elements I had to attend to. The character, the leading character, in one case was a badly retarded, disabling disease, but a beautiful actor. And so I had a theme for him. I had a theme for each of the main players, as well as the references to David's theme and the Hulk's theme. So I had that point of view and that kind of savvy based on the disciplines that I'd learned from Frank Sinatra and Peggy Lee and Dietrich and a whole bunch of other people that I had worked for, adjusting to the needs of other people. And I did it well enough so that you know, here I am teaching this particular technique to people with master's degrees in music who come to USC to learn how to do scoring for film.
Mm-hmm.
And the most difficult thing for them to learn is that music is not the most important thing in the world. It just isn't, especially when it's such a collaborative effort. The writing of it, the conceiving of it, what the actor brings to it, what the sets and the color and all of the extra things. In fact, music is just about at the bottom of the budget and the costs of recording it. So, I mean, you get some sense of perspective when you're aware of that. It's just conforming to some kind of structure beyond the sonata form or writing a symphony or a string, whatever, you know. That's not the heart of the thing. The heart of the thing is what the thing is, the movie. You know, there are so many things that are important, and if the music is, quote, too good, it's never too good, by the way, but if it works well, then it's not too good. It's fine. If it works too good, it calls attention to itself when it's not supposed to, and it's often unacceptable. And frankly, since there isn't any communication really between the composer and the person or persons that are responsible, that the composer is responsible to,
mm-hmm.
not, you know, you can't talk about music. It's just, It's not that it's so special, but it's another language. And until you hear it the way it's conceived by the composer, there's a problem for the possible throwing out of the score. It's happened to everybody I know at one time or another. There are stories galore about Alex North in 2001.
Yep.
And Johnny, even John, and Lalo Schifrin has had a lot of his scores thrown out, as everyone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because that thing, that the communication doesn't really tell it all until you hear it the way it's written. Not even the players know what they're going to hear, nor the copyists. They don't, the music copyists that transcribe the individual part, nobody really hears it until they hear it.
Right. So then, is the main theme always the first piece of music written for you?
No. I think about the project in the whole. I try to, of course, acknowledge what's important. And as I said before, and I won't bore you with repeating it, but what is the personality of the movie? What's the story trying to say? And do I approach it? In addition to that, the generalities, which I was going to enumerate, but, you know, there are actually three elements that you might consider as primary. It can be music that's based on thematic music. The other is music that's based on color, on electronics, or orchestral color, where thematic music is not the main thrust. And that's something that the composer, as well as the staff, have to agree is the way they want to go. Much of the contemporary stuff that's out there is kind of like that. And then, of course, there's the mixture of the three elements, you know, where you have a theme, which may occur here and there, or a device of one kind or another. But the heart of it is mostly electronic sound, odd sounds, mostly loud ones. But generally, it's kind of an abstract texture that seems to be the rage. And, of course, the skilled writer who knows and has been influenced by a traditional background and education and practical experience knows what he's doing, and yet there are a number of people out there, and I don't want to sound like a cynic, but there are quite a few people out there that don't really know, but they do know how to communicate with other people, how to hire people to either ghostwrite or to orchestrate or arrange that contribute greatly creatively, and it's no longer a matter of pride or shame. None of it. It has to do with the evil. I wasn't going to say the evil doers. I wouldn't dare. But the evil influences of greed, money. Money makes the world go round. Thank God it's never been a problem for me to earn a living from my work, and I'm very grateful for that. But some people have the skill to be able to recognize great, talented people who need the work, who want the money, that take a great deal of the heat off the composer, who may take all the bows and accept the awards. This is not a common thing, but it has happened, where there are ghostwriters and for people who are paid enormous amounts of money, and that's the criterion.